Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. We are going back across the United States this week and headed back out to Los Angeles, California, to hear from fellow Glendale runners, Captain, who is right there alongside Raz, Ezra Weiss. And if you have not checked out the episode with Raz, you know, we talked about it right there at the beginning. Keep listening to this episode. Don't stop this episode. Listen to this episode. Go ahead and queue up the episode with Raz, because both of these conversations are amazing, are awesome. This episode with Ezra, we focus a lot on just community, that sense of community, that sense of bringing joy to community, and the work that Ezra has done in Los Angeles and even beyond his local community to bring that joy of running, to be a leader in this space. And so as we listen to this episode, this is just such a theme that continues to pop out that I continue to think about even as I've recorded this episode, you know, not too long ago. And so it's still in my head. And this is just such an amazing conversation to dive into that. So let's get in and let's hear Ezra's story. Welcome in, everybody. This week, we are joined by Ezra Weiss. And as we get started here, Ezra, welcome in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really great. Thank you, Andrew. I'm really happy to be here on your podcast. I like what it represents and what you're doing with your messaging and talking to other people who inspire. So it's a real honor to be here. And I feel pretty good because yesterday, I had a road race and it was a lot of fun.
I saw those pictures pop up on Instagram, and man, I mean, we're going to get to it in this conversation, but the joy that is reflected in your race photos, and listeners, you'll see it on the episode cover art, is just so infectious. Like, it just made me excited for races going on in the future, just seeing that. But, you know, Ezra, before we get like too deep into this conversation, because I think it's going to go a lot of places. Yeah, you know, let's hear, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
I live in Los Angeles. I specifically live in a town or an area called Glendale. Glendale is on the eastern side of like the LA area. We're really close to Pasadena. A lot of people know Pasadena because of the Rose Bowl. And just because, you know, Pasadena's dropped down in a lot of songs, you hear a lot more about Pasadena than Glendale. And my running community really opened up with a group called the Pasadena Pacer. And they have been growing and growing over the past 20 years. It is a free running club, and they meet on Saturdays at 7 a.m. And then they meet on Tuesdays and on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And people just show up and run together. Of course, we have races and we have training plans and we have accountability for each other, just to make sure that your friends show up for you. And we all look out for one another, and we're a caring community. And we also realize that we are quite a presence in Pasadena. We have red shirts that say Pasadena Pacers on it. People see us when it's marathon training, Andrew, running through the streets, 100 people, 150 people, and it makes quite a statement. And we also know that it's very important to be good citizens, to be kind, to say hi, to share smiles, to help out anybody if we see that there's anyone in distress or having an issue. Sometimes we're also known to push cars off to the side when they're stalled, or if we see that somebody, you know, needs assistance. I mean, we're not a group of good Samaritans, but we also understand that it's important to be just good human beings and help out whenever you see that there's a situation that needs it. And that is within our running community, but we also extend that to the community in Pasadena at large. And we also want to extend that into our own personal lives, our work communities, our family life, things of that nature. So I've really grown with the Pasadena Pacers and love them. I am their half marathon coach. I lead their physical warm-ups in the morning. Thank you. in the past, I spent a couple years when I was their interim marathon coach. So it's just, I spend a lot of my running time with the Pasadena Pacers, as well as with the Glendale Runners. Now, I know on an earlier podcast, you spoke with the incredible Raz, who's an inspiration in most of the things that he does. And he approached me almost 9 months ago, maybe 10 months ago. And he said, you know, I see you running around Glendale, Ezra, and I've already got this account called the Glendale Runners. And I feel like we should do a community run, free run club here. Have any interest in like helping me out with that? So Raz definitely took the lead on that, and he helps organize. And I help out by showing up and partnering with him, because it's always easier to do things when you have somebody to share those tasks with. So I spend time in Glendale Runners. I spend time at the Pasadena Pacers. And I also have, you know, just a bunch of friends that like to run, period. So we'll go for runs on Sundays and do trails and go to races together and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. For listeners, if you haven't listened to it, let's finish listening to this episode and but get that one with Raz queued up. Cause and I mean, so and that's how we connected was you know, you and Raz helped kind of lead the Glendale Runners together. Obviously, when I interview folks, I also kind of like to see, you know, who their acquaintances are, who they're running with, what their community looks like. And Ezra just kind of pops up on the screen, which is great, because in a lot of ways, you know, in a big city, Raz and I talk, like in a big city like LA, it is very easy to get lost. And not just like lost by not knowing the way around. And so you're running and you get lost, but also just lost to be able to find community, which seems weird that in such a big city with such a large population, it actually ends up being difficult to find community, even for people, you know, whether, I mean, if you're introvert, you know, good luck, even for extroverts sometimes, just because there's that overstimulation thing. So what did your experience of getting involved with all of these communities? You talked a little bit about how Raz got to you, but what did it look like for you to start to get involved with Pasadena Pacers? You know, take us through those years where maybe you're new in LA and you're looking for those communities. Because it seems like you jumped in and you're leading just both feet in the water.
I am a little bit like that in ways. Like I'll show up to a place and if I like the people and I like the atmosphere, I like the activity, and I feel like my time is respected and well spent and appreciated, then I am one to just kind of stick around and help build your brand, so to speak. I'm very much a company man. So if for instance, Andrew, if you have your running group and I roll up to it because I'm new to the area, or you know, I'm just I want to expand my horizons and meet new people. Yeah. And I roll up to your running group and I'll be quiet for a while. I'll just be there and you'll feel my support. Mm-hmm. And then after a few weeks of that, then I may, you know, just straight up engage you. I'll certainly engage you on social media. I'll be like, hey, Andrew, it was really great. If I had a great time, I'm going to be genuine about that. But yeah. I'll message you about that. And for those of you, like you mentioned, those that struggle with being an introvert and like trying to communicate and having eye contact and FaceTime with a person, I understand that is becoming a growing obstacle for people as we hide behind our phone. Making mm-hmm. eye contact, having personal engagement, feeling an energy of a person, and also regulating the energy that it stirs up within you is a bigger and growing obstacle, which is why I'm all about community. I'm all about community. I grew up in a large family. I went to big schools. I know the power and I know the value of being around people. And being around people, even if it's challenging because there's different personalities that just not, they may not gel with you, but you need to be around a group of people to find the people that you do gel with, to find your friends. You're never going to find your friends alone at home.
Yeah.
So I'll show up. I'll send you a message. I'll be like, hey, Andrew, wow, your group is really great. I'm really into it. I'm having a great time. Thank you so much for all that you do. And then when I show up again, I'll be like, hey, Andrew, my name's Ezra. I sent you a message. You're like, you're right, right. Okay, yeah, hey, oh, it's you. Okay. And then I'll come up to you and I'll be like, look, Andrew, if there's any help that you need, if you need me to lead a group, if you want me to lead stretches, if you need me to help fold the table and put it in someone's car, like I'm there. Like, you know, if you don't need me, you don't need me. That's cool. You don't know me yet. Yeah. You don't trust me. I get it. But if you need a helping hand, I'm there for you. Now, my name, Ezra, is a biblical name. It's a Hebrew mm-hmm. name, and it is translated to mean literally help.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I'm the youngest of five. I think my mom and dad, by the time I was born, they were like, holy moly, we've got our hands full with five kids. Let's just name this one help because I'm going to need all the help I can get. Right. I'm also named after my grandmother, who I never met. She passed before I was born. So I get to carry her namesake and I get to carry her memory with me, which I'm very, very proud of. And just by sharing that, I'm fulfilling the obligation of being named Ezra. So,
yeah.
So I'm always willing to help. I also displayed leadership ability when I was a younger kid. I just like to be involved. I like to help out. So when I started with the Pasadena Pacers, I was running with the group. I was having a good time. I like to break the ice a little bit, you know, sort of stir up some conversation, healthy conversation, neutral conversation, right? I don't need to know how much you make. Don't tell me what your political alignments are. We don't need to discuss what our religious beliefs and how they may conflict or how we find challenges with that. We just keep it neutral. I want to know you as the person, because if I know those other things, then I might be thinking, oh, this person makes way more money than me. I have no business talking to them. Or this person does that for a living. Well, I think I'm better than, like, all that garbage shit that people do. Sorry, excuse my language.
Oh, no,
all that
garbage it's all good.
That people do. You know what I mean? It really gets in the way of you learning the heart of the person. So, and I really love to get to know people. And one of my side hustles that I do for a living is I'm in a place to take a group of strangers and break down barriers so that they can feel comfortable enough where they can laugh together while they're watching a television show being filmed.
Yeah.
And it's a challenging job to make a bunch of strangers feel comfortable enough where they're free and willing to share their laughter, which is one of the big emotions. We got four of them, right? We'll be afraid and we'll be happy and we'll be sad, right? And to have that happiness come out, I mean, that's huge. That's a huge ask for someone to be like, okay, everybody have a good time tonight.
And yeah,
I don't know you. I don't know these people. I'm going to be guarded. You're not going to hear my laughter, right? So I know that it's a tough job and I absolutely love it. And I like to do that wherever I can. I'd like to do that with your audience, for instance, those that don't even know me that are listening right now. If they're like, oh my gosh, this guy feels real and honest. He's making me laugh. He's saying some things that make sense to me and that land on me. And I feel like he sees me who I am. That's what I try to do everywhere. And it just happens to be like really active in the running community.
And I think, and I mean, that's so much of what's needed, because a lot of times when we come into the running community, and, you know, you'll know this from listening to some episodes, listeners, you'll know this is, you know, a lot of us, when we come into running communities, it's oftentimes we want to get away from like what's happening around us. We want to get away from work for a little bit. We want to just kind of relax from the struggles of life. And to see that kind of impact, to see that kind of engagement when we're coming into that environment, you know, it almost is like that, you know, the air releasing out of that balloon. It's just like we're allowed to relax. And when we're gathering together like that, it means so much, because in that more relaxed state, I think we find ourselves being better versions of ourselves, right? Because we can, like you said, it's not about all of that other stuff that's happening. It's about the person who's right in front of you and what's going on in their lives. And so as you've been able to grow and develop in this community, what are some of the things that you're noticing from a lot of these people as they're coming in? What are you training them as much? I mean, I coach too. Like, as much as you coach the physical, there's also that coach of the mental. And getting folks mentally to where they need to be. So what's it like playing on that side of things where you're helping these folks, especially in this environment, on that mental side? Because again, like I look at it, LA is high stress, right? I mean, I deal with Hampton Roads. That's enough stress for me in terms of city living. I lived in DC for a while and that felt like too much. But you know, these are people whose lives are kind of built around a lot of just stress, a lot of like built up stuff. You talk about creating an environment, but how much more goes into that than just maybe like that introduction or that first time greeting? What else is going into that?
I observe and I listen. And if somebody's going to run along with me in my like pod or group of runners that are just going to head out for our half marathon training, and we're going to do 8 miles, right? Or we're going to do 6 miles, whatever it is. And I have people who are showing me that they're nervous. They're expressing to their with their words that I've never gone this far. I don't know if I can do this. But I also know that they're there to train. They're there maybe reach a goal they thought they'd never be able to achieve in their life, which is run 10 miles or run a half marathon. Mm. And I already believe in them because I know they can do it because I'm able to do it. And I am no special than they are. Mm. I just may have more experience with it because I've been doing it longer. And here they are. And if they've shown up, then I already can see that they're able to do it because showing up is the hardest part of the journey. And then what I tend to do is if it's a brand new runner, I'll check in with them. Mm. And if I notice that they're kind of struggling a little bit, then I will distract them and I'll start talking. I'll talk about me or I'll ask them questions. And if I hear that their breathing's a little bit heavy, then I'll definitely take over and I'll start to share. And I usually share stuff that's lighthearted, maybe a little bit embarrassing, maybe a little bit of insight about what it's like to be a married person, a father, the work that I do. I try to like get their mind elsewhere because once we start thinking about the hurt that we're feeling and the negative thoughts come in, if I don't know if I can do this, I'm exhausted. If I can pull your brain away and make you like listen to me or laugh, or as some people, they need to do the talking and you need to be the listener, because if they're talking about it, then they're, like you said, releasing some of their stress or sharing their personality. Just like being like, it's like whenever you're at a party or you're in a new relationship and you just start talking and you say, oh my gosh, we've been on the phone for the past 4 hours. I didn't even realize it. Right.
Yeah.
So we'll do those 8 miles. And then by the time the 8 miles are over, they'll say, oh my God, I did not expect it to go that well. That was so easy. It was easy in my mind. I'm like, it was easy because you were distracted and you weren't focusing on the negative. And we were just moving and grooving and talking. And I find that with the stress that a lot of people have in our lives that we carry, right? When we're out there running and we're talking, we've got moving therapy. We've got moving meditation, right?
Yeah.
If something's bothering you, Andrew, and you're sitting there in your chair, you're basically like sitting in your problem.
Yep.
Physically, like you might fidget, right? Or you might like poke at your face, or you might, you know, like move things around on the table in front of you, or whatever it is. Like you get fidgety when we get emotional because it makes us feel things that want to come out of our body.
Yeah.
And while we're running, you're breathing heavy, regulated, good, supported breath, because that's how your body needs you to do it. We're not running so fast where we're exhausting ourselves. Like we're not sprinting. If I hear that your breath is starting to get labored, we're going to ease up on our pace so that you can either talk or listen without panting. And then once you start talking and you're moving, it's going through your body. Then you start to feel better. You start to feel lighter. You start to connect with this activity is something that's positive for me. I don't know what it was, but it felt really good. I want to come back. Not only do I want to come back, I want it to last longer. How about I go 2 more miles next time, further? How about I train for something I thought I could never do, like a half marathon, and I'll do 13 miles. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Never in my life. I hate running 1 mile during PE. It was torture. And you want me to do that? Or you want me to run for 2 hours? You're out of your mind. Who would ever do something like that?
You sound like my son right now.
Right? But then runners who do it, they're like, oh, you know what? If I go at the right pace for me, and if I'm with the right person, or sometimes it's even the right music, but I like to be with people more than I like to be with music, then the time goes by, the miles go by. And when things get rough, you can turn to your buddies and be like, man, this mile's really a challenge. This hill sucks. I just don't have it. I'm all out of gas. Like, whatever it is, they could be like, guess what, Ezra? It's cool. Let's just walk through this a little bit. We're going to pick it up. Small steps, little bursts. We're just going to get back into the groove again. And then we do, because we support each other. People need people to support and lift us up and carry us through. And I find that into actual practice with my running community, but with just, you know, my running sort of dedication.
And what an important thing to like bring into our running communities, because one of the big things that anybody who finds you and looks and goes through and looks at your Instagram, anybody who sees and hears this passion that you have, just like, you know, the episode that came out right before we recorded the episode with Bobby, you know, it's that intentionality, it's that authenticity that you bring forward. So before we get to, you know, these crazy outfits that you wear, that you, the infectious joy that you bring to race day, you know, for you, what is the, you know, you've created almost an idea. You've created this person who is authentic, who is intentional in how they're engaging with people. For you, why is that important? Why is it important for Ezra to be Ezra, whether he is here, whether he's there, if he's at Pasadena Racers, if he's at Glendale Runners, if he's, you know, running races in a ladybug outfit? Why is it important for Ezra to be the authentic Ezra that people see?
I would have a really difficult time walking around with a facade. I just need to be as authentic of for myself as possible. Sometimes that authenticity, Andrew, comes into, you know, pushing my put my embarrassment aside. Like you said, sometimes, you know, I run, as you mentioned, in a ladybug costume. Your subscribers should definitely know that ladybug costume is fully equipped with a tutu. I'm six feet tall. It's just, I mean, it's a sight, right? But, and it's embarrassing, to be honest, at times. But I have to shove that aside because I know that some people are going to smile when they see it. Mm. And I am more interested in having a stranger smile and having a lighter moment in their life than I am feeling embarrassed by being in a... I'm also an actor. Like, I've done a lot of theater. I'm an actor, a voice director, a voice actor. And I like to give people entertainment and a performance that makes them feel happy. I love comedy. And I know the power of laughter. And it's to me, you know, it doesn't have to be laughter, but I want to open up a window for someone to embrace optimism and positivity. And I don't want to shove it down their throat. So for those people that see me and it makes them light up and they smile and they wave at me or they point at me and they go, hey, ladybug, hey, like that, I feel like it really gives people, strangers, an opportunity to exercise the friendliness that I know they have inside of themselves. Mm. But very often they choose not to show. We walk around, we'll go to a coffee shop, we'll go in, we'll say, give me the drink, and then you walk out. And there's people all around you, and you just have blinders on, and you're like, give me what I want, and I am out of here. And you're missing the opportunity to be friendly and to engage with other human beings around you, because one person uplifts another person, and then that creates, you know, an ever radiating effect. Of course, not to everybody, right? I'm not foolish to think like, oh, if you're positive, the world's positive. No, but if you're positive and someone in the corner of that shop who you have no idea is watching you, they see that you're being friendly, they might think, maybe I'll have a little more patience with another person, or maybe I'll be a little friendly, or it doesn't even go anywhere like that, Andrew. They go, oh, that's nice. That's it. Like, that's
no,
it.
Yeah.
Right. That's all that it really has to be. So I find that it is just, you know, it's me being my authentic self, but I really have no understanding of me being my authentic self, which I know is like such a catchphrase, and it's filled with self-help books and all motivational speakers, all of that stuff. But truly, it feels like I know I feel like I'm just being my best if I'm being that way.
Yeah.
Right. I know that if I hold back my personality, that's so much energy.
Yeah,
that's definitely so much energy for me. If I hold back my support, you know, as we grow older in our life and we realize that people hurt us or that things hurt us and we have to figure out what's right for us, we create boundaries. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to hold on to some of those boundaries when some of those boundaries are, oh, I want to be a caring person for everybody. And then you realize, wait, but not everybody's a caring person to me. And that sometimes hurts me.
Yeah.
So we find a boundary that makes it safe for us, right? And figuring out and incorporating that into our life can become a struggle when ultimately it becomes, you know, the person who you are. As I mentioned, I love comedy. I love improvisation and improvisational comedy. I love it. And the foundation is a very simple term, which many people have heard, and that is for you to say yes and right? You got to do the yes part is kind of easy and difficult. The and part is the really, like, really finesse area of it. Mm-hmm. But the philosophy of yes is if you're creating a scene out of nothing, no script and no rehearsal, that's what improvisation is. You get an idea and you just, If you present an idea to me and I say no to that idea, we're no longer connecting with each other and we're not building on anything, right? So I always give students, especially younger students, because I teach every now and then, I say, listen, if you're sitting at home and you're on your phone and your parent says, hey, Andrew, I need you to take out the garbage. And you go, yeah, okay, I will later. But you don't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then they say, Andrew, I asked you already a half hour ago. You haven't done it. Like, I will do it. I'll do it. Okay. Whatever. And you still don't do it. Like, the point is,
hit that spot on.
Right? You say yes, you do it, and then you can move on to the next moment. And now you're not dealing with any of this, like, bubbling up issues of, oh, now I'm in a conflict with my parent. And, oh, my parent thinks that I'm, you know, just lazy and they won't leave me alone. Just do the thing. Do it. Yeah. Get it over with. Say yes. Do it, move on. So,
and I think about this. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've always been about embracing the yes. If you ask me to help you, I'm going to say yes. Right.
Yeah.
But then, as I'm mentioning with, like, boundaries, as we grow older, we have to realize you can't say yes to everything. It's just not fair to you. Mm-hmm. So in relation to how does this apply to you in your world, in your life, you've got to come up with certain boundaries. Yeah. And exercising those can be very, very difficult. So I find out that being my authentic self, stepping into a race in a ladybug outfit or helping out or just cheering other runners when they start crossing the finish line, I don't do it by design. I do it by just a drive of my inner self that says, you like doing it, they'll like doing it, maybe, but there's nothing wrong with you doing it anyway. So go ahead and do it and share some light.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, one of the biggest barriers in community is often that facade that people try and put on, right? When people try, they don't put that authenticity at the forefront. Or when people come into community, you know, it's the leeriness that comes forward. And then once they drop that boundary, is when they really start to experience community. And for listeners who are listening to this, I mean, there's a, like, you'll notice a theme for a lot of the people that are on this podcast is it really is that nature of authenticity and bringing yourself forward, because that's one of the best ways we can engage in community, especially when we talk about running. And you talked about it earlier where it's like therapy, it's therapeutic. And I've always thought of running that way, especially running with other people. And, you know, I've heard people say it's like, well, cause it's not because you're looking at each other or it's because your brain, like the basic functions that your body normally goes through, your brain now has, like, leveled those up because your cardio system is moving, like all those things. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes in order to be able to be that person. And I think when we talk about what running and what community can do for us, you know, going on a jog with someone is one of those situations where I can get to know somebody else, they can get to know me, and we've just created a connection that can help us as we're going through life. Mm. And as we're doing these things, if I'm not being, my understanding has always kind of been of, if I'm not being my authentic self, then am I doing a disservice to those who are creating community with me? And I think that that's why that authenticity note really hits hard for a lot of folks, is because we get timid when we get into community. And I think that the timidness can only, like, it only takes us so far. But like you said, it's, you know, when you come to that, when you go to that group, when you go to that club, when you go to that run club social or whatever it is, you know, it's that first time is like, all right, let me kind of see what the lay of the land is. But then I'm like you, like, I want to get engaged, like, I want to get engaged. I want to, you know, obviously with everything else that I do around here, you know, I'm not leading at run clubs except for my own. But, you know, I'm often like, hey, how can I help? What can I do? You know, is there some way that we can connect? Is there something that we can do together? You know, those are always things that I'm looking for, because that sort of authenticity, that sort of community really builds upon itself, because it helps us to grow bigger when we bring that self. And when people see us, you know, it allows us to kind of make our reach go further, because even naming, it's like, hey, I'm not like our co-leader. In fact, my co-leader, myself, there are a lot of ways in which we're different. And we actually use those differences to help us engage in different ways with people throughout our club, because we've been able to recognize a lot of those things. But, you know, and I want to talk about this ladybug costume, because it's the other part of this from our conversation when we talked about you coming on, is it goes beyond just, you know, Pasadena Pacers and Glendale Runners. It goes beyond that nature of community. And this is one of the places where I like to go sometimes with Run, Build, Grow, is sometimes it's about how we help to grow the community around us, whether it's on the run or off the run. And I loved your answer when I mentioned the ladybug outfit. For those who don't know, Ladybug, it's from a show called Miraculous, Ladybug and Cat Noir. It's mostly a kid's show. But you're dressing up as this ladybug figure. Can you give us a little understanding as to why? Because I love this explanation that you gave.
I will tell you. So I am a voice director, as I mentioned, and a voice actor. And one of the shows that I'm the voice director of is Miraculous, Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir. And it is a very popular show in so many countries globally. And in America, it is a show that is growing in popularity. You can currently see it on the Disney Channel, on Netflix, on Disney Plus.
And my kids watched it last night.
Oh, fantastic. And really, you know, a lot of the adult community, it's just not on their radar unless they've got kids and their kids are really into it. But still, you know, it's a show that in the United States is just continuing to grow year after year. And the show has been on the air for 9 years. We're in our sixth season. They had a major motion picture release last year of a beautiful film that is streaming on Netflix. But they also have a lot of licensing products. So there's like nutritional drinks and, you know, like for kids' lunches and snack food, and they have t-shirts and apparel and things of that nature. But there is an apparel company that makes female fitness clothes. And they're called Maxim Life. And I saw that someone posted their ladybug fit that they were now advertising, like, hey, we have this collab with Miraculous and our apparel company, and here's the red polka dot. It's got Miraculous across the back, and it's right. And it comes in like a tank top, and it comes in a long sleeve with a crop top. Like, it's all for the female form, right? Predominantly, their customers are those, you know, that are carry a female form with the female form dimension. And I messaged the company and I said, hey, I'm a runner. I love the outfits. They're really great. If you send me one of them, I'll wear it in a race. Right. And then they messaged me back and they're like, this is weird. Who are you? I said, I work on the show. I'm the director. And I know that this show has a large younger audience. And I am all about fitness and keeping your body moving. And if you keep your body moving, it's giving you just a better opportunity to have, you know, stronger mental health if there's not a serious issue. And you can just kind of help balance what it's like socially to develop as a, you know, from a young person into a teenager, just to move your body. And I also want the younger audience to see that a superhero that they really love, AKA Miraculous Ladybug, is now in this big race like the LA Marathon, right? So they were over the moon. The company was, Maxim was so thrilled. They're like, yes, we'll send it to you. I'm like, make sure it's an extra large because like I said, I'm a big guy, right? So they sent it to me. I opened it up and I immediately saw, I was like, oh my goodness. All right. So this is not designed for me, but I'm going to put it on and be silly on my TikTok and on my Instagram. Because I definitely want to show off the apparel. And I thought it looked really great, Andrew. Not on me, but just great, period. Like, it's a really lovely design. So I made the video. And then people are like, oh, you should wear that. You should wear that. You really should do it. Follow through. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to do it. So I ran a big race, like LA Marathon, in the Miraculous Ladybug costume. I put a big tutu on. I have the sunglasses that are also a licensed merchandise, where it's got like the mask on her face. Yeah. So I really look like I am just a big drag version of Miraculous Ladybug. Mm. And as I was running, I saw young kids. I saw their parents point out to their kids in their stroller, look, there goes Ladybug. Look, there's Ladybug.
Yeah.
And then for people who had no idea, Andrew, they would be like, way to go, Ladybug. Looking good, Ladybug. And I was like, okay, this is great. And also, if you go to big races, a lot of the volunteers that are handing out waters and, you know, electrolyte drinks on the side are like high schoolers. And as you mentioned, it's predominantly for a younger audience. But for some reason, this show took traction with kids that are teenagers into college age. Yeah. So when I run through the aid stations, and I always thank the volunteers at the aid station, I say, thanks for volunteering. Thanks for helping out with water. Then I saw their eyes light up and they're like, oh, Ladybug. And then they would stop me and be like, can I get a picture with you, Ladybug? I was like, wow, this is great. So yes, number one, I'm there to bring smiles. I'm there to like have people see, like I'm like they're in a parade and they see their favorite character, right?
Yeah.
I'm also there to give a positive imprint for any of the younger supporters on the sidelines of the races that say, hey, that looks like it's fun. It doesn't always have to be only for an athlete or the athlete mentality.
Yeah.
It can be for the every person who likes to be active.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, obviously, let's not overlook the fact that there's a certain degree of vanity there, that I'm proud of the show that I'm representing. And I want other people to see it and recognize it and spread awareness that this show is great, because the messaging of the show, other than being entertaining and exciting, the message behind the show is that we are stronger together. As superheroes, they Cat Noir and Ladybug, they gotta work together always. And the message is, people, we are stronger together. We're healthier together. We're happier together. So I just started to do that. And then I thought the pictures looked pretty good. And I saw that the fan base that follows me on Instagram and on and TikTok, they said, that has inspired me to start exercising. And then they engage with me and they say, hey, Ezra, I walked 2 miles today. Hey, Ezra, I am now doing a Ladybug challenge with a virtual running club. Hey, Ezra, I got the same outfit as you. And now we're going to be, you know, matching twins. And it just started to like grow with this community of people. And even if they aren't exercising, they're viewing exercise as something fun and positive that maybe later in their life they'll try it.
Yeah. And you talk about the vanity and of you know, you work on the show, and it's so cool because my kids have been watching this show for a while now, and there was a point in time, I think it was like when season six came out, where my wife and I, we had started to like kind of piece the whole series together. We told our kids and started like a pre, because like there's very few shows that like kids can like, And then that the adults, it's like, okay, no, I'm now invested in this show.
Right.
But we started to like really see the, and it's really the ones that have like the good, wholesome themes behind it. And so we started seeing the themes. And so immediately when I saw, you know, all this stuff with you, with Ladybug, with all of this stuff, I thought, you know, okay, yeah, he's taking the vanity of being a director, of being one of the folks who works on it, of being a voice actor on it, of all that stuff. But like, honestly, you're also taking the vanity of like, you, how much you love the sport of running as well. Mm-hmm. Because it could be very, it could be very easy for it to seem just vain in the idea of, oh, he's just trying to push Ladybug. He's trying to push Cat Noir, trying to push this show. But it's clear that that's not it. That's kind of like, it's almost like it's a byproduct of what's mm-hmm. happening. And that for to show that level of support for movement, for exercise, getting people out there, exciting people, that again, it's that authentic moment of, you know, you thinking to yourself, what can I do to help to grow this sport? Because and I don't know about you, to me, like, I call it a sport, it is so much more than a sport. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much to this active lifestyle, to movement, to running, to walking, to all of this stuff. A lot of the stuff with where we've been in this, of talking about the therapeutic benefits, of talking about the health benefits, and, you know, to say like, you're not gonna, like, just because you run, you're not gonna get skinny. Just, I mean, like, there's so many different sizes and shapes that can do it,
right?
But it's the encouragement of the activity. And it's in a lot of ways, how can we use who we are, what we do, where we come from, to help to encourage others? And that's the thing that I love about this, is that it transcends all of that. And it brings it back to that point of, how am I helping others to see the joy in this activity that I love? And what can I use from my life to help engage that? And so, you know, what you talk about, noticing all of the kids up to the high school age, I can kind of see, because, well, there were a couple of times when we watched some episodes, we were like, is this really appropriate for the age of our kids? Because we've got like younger ones, like 6 and 8. And so I was like, so some of the themes, we were like, all right, we might have to explain that to them at some point in time.
But because they deal with feelings of love and crushing and all that kind of stuff.
And they do. But I mean, so does Inside Out too, that I have to explain to my kids as well. So, you know, I mean,
sure.
Explaining those feelings, but also explaining how all of that fits within our lives, and being someone on the forefront of allowing people to be a part of that conversation. What has that meant for you to come into this role, whether you expected it or not, to come into this role as someone who is putting this conversation in front of people? Because you talk about the people who may not know what the show is. Most of them might be going and looking the show up afterwards if they kind of get connected. What's it been like for you to kind of be at the forefront of having those conversations happen, of even just thinking that maybe those kids are going home and they're talking to their parents about how they saw, you know, Ladybug on the course of the LA Marathon? The contents of the show are coming up in conversations, the connections to movement activity. What's it been like for you to kind of be at the forefront of that conversation?
It has never once come up in my mind, Andrew. I never think of that in terms of a byproduct at all. I'm not thinking about how can I like raise up the exposure of the show more than people already have of it.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I was at a race yesterday. I participated in something that's called Surf City 10. It's a 10-mile race. It happens in Huntington Beach. It's a beautiful event. There was one volunteer through the whole race. I mean, there were, I don't know how many thousands of people, maybe it was 4,000 or 5,000 people participating. And then think of all the other volunteers and spectators, right? One person who, while I was running at a volunteer station, turned to me and said, "Miraculous Ladybug." Most people just go, "Ladybug. Oh, look, Ladybug, a Ladybug, Ladybug," right? So I'm not there. If that was my agenda, I would definitely be having a sign or some more of a branding that says the name. But literally, my costume, if you should see it, it's just red and white and polka dot. It is the polka dot design of her outfit.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think even more so, like the theme, like not the themes of the show, but even just the theme of seeing this Ladybug moving, for the folks who are connecting it to the superhero, for the folks who aren't connecting it, you know, you are starting this conversation. You know, you're getting people talking, having conversations about exercise, about movement. For those who are connected with the show, maybe they're having those conversations about the themes that the show evokes. But you're starting this conversation because you have brought this authenticity to the stage. You've shown, and you're running as something that sticks out. It's like the people who run in the dinosaur costumes, or the people who do the crazy challenges. But in a lot of, and in a lot of ways, yours really starts a I feel like yours starts a conversation in more ways than one, because it does evoke that feeling in some folks, but it also just shows, like, here's what the human body can do, and to show that off.
Yeah. You know, it was a hard launch on something like that. I will tell you, you know, my friends, my running friends, my family members, my professional colleagues, the people that I work with, the people directly responsible for working with the show, right? Mm. There is, of course, people like giving a smile and a wink at, oh, look at Ezra. He's running in the Ladybug costume. We know he works on the show, but like, what? I don't know of any other director of any other show that's going to walk around and be like, look at how I'm representing a show that I know is popular for some people. But usually they're like, well, I work on it, so I'm just going to stay off to the side and I'll let the fans of the show be the fans of the show. And here I am, like, stepping into the show, recognizing the fans of the show, and also being like, and guess what? I'm affiliated with the show, and look at how I love the show so much.
Mm.
It was a hard launch, Andrew, because I know that people eventually are like, that's weird. He's ridiculous. He should probably stop that. Why is he even doing that? I don't get it. But I stayed committed to it. And now people are starting to see, just like we're having this conversation and your audience is able to hear, like, oh, there's a deeper level going on here. There's this, I'm trying to, you know, elevate a sense of positivity throughout humanity in my own very small, very specific way. And I'm also trying to let people know that fitness and movement is important and can be fun, and that they should engage in it. You know, I know that your running handle is Running Rev.
Mm-hmm.
And Running Rev is short for Running Reverend. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So you, as a reverend and also as a running coach, those practices intersect so beautifully, because if you're going to live a faith-based life, a godly life, then you need to practice that daily.
Yeah.
And if you want to get stronger in your faith and in your belief, then as you practice it daily, you need to build towards a more significant moment that happens within your life cycle, or that happens within the calendar year. Certain holidays are more opened to receiving the godliness for that person than just your weekly practices of it. And the same thing aligns with running. You run and you get your mass, your sermon, your 3-mile run. And it makes you feel good, and you're more connected in your own body and in the appreciation of the world. It lowers your intolerance, and now you can become more patient and more loving and more receiving just throughout the day regularly. But then you also need to, like, build towards a bigger event, right? You need to, like, find something that challenges your daily practice so that it can grow and grow and grow, and that you can experience more from it. Right? That might even be, you know what? When I marry my spouse, I would like there to be the presence of a godliness ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Because that now that that's important to me, that's going to be important for me in this life cycle event. And that makes it more sacred for me. And runners, and a lot of them who, you know, you can talk to, I think a fair majority of them would say that they're non-denominational, non-practicing, non-anything, but they are so religious about their running. And what are the things that their running tells them? It tells them to be kind to their neighbor. It tells them to help and support one another. It tells them to believe in themselves. It reminds them that the world is beautiful, and that things are optimistic ultimately, even through our darkest days, that we can rise up from it with the support of others, or just changing our mindset if we're able to do that. And I feel like your podcast, your passion for running, as well as what you've dedicated your life to being as a reverend, works so well with one another. And I believe in that same sense of spirituality without giving any sort of non-denominational, no dogma, no godliness on it, because I want everyone to feel those feelings of love, brightness, optimism, support, and that the world is a beautiful place, not a dark, terrible place where it's out to get them.
Well, and ultimately, isn't that part of the thing, is to bring the themes forth? And when we're expressing ourselves, that's how we're conveying things, right? We're coming out and we're letting folks know this is what is happening, right? It's about working together. It's about being community together. And I think that's one of the things, and I mean, it's one of the things that took me a long time in kind of naming, you know, I'm the Running Rev, is how do we connect that? What are we claiming from our life as a runner? And, you know, to kind of see you just being out there, being Ladybug, taking everything that is within this show to help to elevate the conversation of running, of exercise, of being community together, of everything that comes from that, of people seeing that and being able to attach that to that. You know, that's almost what we're trying to do in community as well, is we're coming together. You know, to bring this full circle back to the beginning, you talk about Pasadena Runners or Pacers, and you're all wearing red shirts. And so whenever people see y'all out in the world, they see the red shirts, they know that it's Pasadena Pacers. And it evokes that theme of running because people know who you are. And when they know it, they know what it's attached to. Now, sometimes that does come with, you know, some ingrained understandings of who you are actually not because of what you attribute to. But I often also see that of, you know, maybe we can help to flip that script, right? Maybe if we can show people where those connection points are, if I can be the example for them to help them, then that becomes the importance of that role. And how we come together in community is, again, it comes back to, you know, I can't be anything except for Andrew. You can't be anything except for Ezra. And to bring all of that into community together is for us to help grow this entire thing we have going on around us. But, oh man, I could talk about this all day. But Ezra, let's hop into these end of podcast questions here and wrap up our time. What is your favorite distance to run?
Half marathon.
Half marathon. Half
marathon is the key. I think that marathon is a long distance, and I feel like for the average person, constantly keeping up with a marathon training schedule is a lot and is hard on your body. I feel like marathon training is totally doable, and it's a great physical fitness base to sustain as you fluctuate between like dropping down to 7, 4, or 5 miles all the way up to 10, 11, 12 miles. So that you're in condition to do a half marathon. I feel like it's a challenge. You get a beautiful medal. You're around a lot of people, but you don't have to do as much, you know, sort of sustained pounding on your body as you would with a marathon. So for me, half marathon is, for a long distance runner, half marathon is, I think, perfect distance. I'm just lobbying to change the name of half marathon, because then regular, you know, the remaining society is like, oh, you only can do half as much. Like the half has a negative connotation, and we need to lift it up and empower it with a different label.
Or, well, the marathon is just two half marathons. And then that's exactly why I don't want to run a marathon. But
All right.
What is your favorite post-run food, snack, drink? You finish up a run, you finish up a race. What do you want to get first?
Oh, let's see. If I'm usually really hungry, I like to get like, I'm a pescatarian, so I don't eat meat, but I do like an Impossible burger. I do still like the feeling and the flavor of a burger. So I do like to eat a burger and fries and a root beer.
Nice. And finally, Ezra, can you give our listeners a reason to join their local run club or run group?
You will, when you join a local run group, there will be people there that will surprise you and entertain you. you'll probably find a person who will eventually grow into one of your best friends. Mm. It might not be at the first run club that you go to. And if you go to a run club and you didn't like it the first time, go back another time, because first impressions can be really rough, especially when we're bringing a lot of our own insecurities to the table. So give a run club a couple opportunities. You'll know when you find your people, and you will certainly find somebody there who sees you and respects you and lifts you up and supports you and will also bring you back.
Mm. And I love that. Friends, don't give up after the first time. Don't give up, but just keep it going. Thank you so much, Ezra. What a great conversation.
My pleasure, Andrew. Keep doing what you're doing, because I love this podcast.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, so I cannot necessarily hide the fact that this was just an awesome interview. It's not often that you get to have the director, a voice actor on a popular kids television show, come on your podcast, but that's not what really drew me into this story about Ezra. It is how he is using the platform that he has, the space that he has, the personality that he has to lift up, to show this joy, this love, this amazing ability to move, and how even for Ezra, he's not afraid to get out there and do it. I know a lot of us, we may have that little bit of fear that holds us back. But as I look at it, it's people like Ezra who help us to remind us of the joy that is in running and that we can never forget that. And so even if you're not, you know, going to races in a ladybug outfit, who cares? But by seeing Ezra, are you motivated to go and run yourself? Are you motivated to go and to live and to move and to do all of these things? As we consider this nature of the communal spirit of running, it's how we lift one another up, right? You may not be like Ezra. You're not going to go out and do it like him. But what can you do to build that sense and nature of community, right? We have been lifted. We have been supported. We have been shown how great this and wonderful this sport is. And so what are we doing to help to continue to help others to see that joy as well? I want you to think about that as you go through these episodes. And hopefully, if you haven't listened to it, you got that episode with Raz queued up. It's going to come on right after this. Before we get there, you know, I love to do this. I love doing this podcast. I love being on folks like Ezra. And I'm always looking for great guests. And so if you are interested on coming on here and telling your story, your run community story, or your running story and how community has impacted it, email me, andrew@runandrev.com, or you can message me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is right here in the podcast notes. But also, I'd love your support. I'd love your support to help make sure this podcast keeps going. Make sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast. Whatever podcast platform you're on, it allows it to just automatically show up in your feed. Make sure if you are on Apple Podcasts, go and rate and review the podcast as a whole. If you're on Spotify, leave a comment on this episode. They have that new feature where you can just drop a comment. And again, continued shout outs to Chris Elliott, who is like probably my number one fan. Thank you, Chris. I will see you at Run Club, but drop a comment like Chris. Be like Chris and drop a comment. Also, I would love it if you would help to support the podcast. Head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. I'm trying to help make my hosting this podcast a little bit more affordable in terms of getting hosting fees, in terms of getting some upgraded equipment so I can make things sound all nice and smooth, and not that I go and strive for perfection, but continue to bring this quality stuff to us. And so I want to thank Bobby Kritzelis. Y'all remember him a few weeks ago dropping me a little bit of love and support on Buy Me a Coffee. Terrell White, again, another one from Black Men Run Hampton Roads, dropping some love over on Buy Me a Coffee. Shout out to both of you. If you could just help to support, help keep this thing going, it would be such an amazing thing. And so as we get going today, make sure you got that episode with Raz queued up for next. And friends, make every mile count.